But Jesus doesn't do that ministry alone. He needs a team, just as we were thinking about this morning with that church motto. So let's look at Luke's gospel now and the calling of these first disciples and this miraculous catch of fish. And I want to focus particularly on what we can learn from Simon Peter, to show us how we can go deeper with Christ and walk in his footsteps. So first, how did Simon respond to Jesus? Well, Luke says that Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The other gospel writers call it the Sea of Galilee, not quite such a mouthful. This is the large freshwater lake that served as the main source of water and commerce for the Galilee region. Well, Jesus, of course, is gaining in popularity. The people were crowding around him. They wanted to see, to hear what he had to say. They're listening to the word of God and perhaps beginning to just realize that from the lips of Jesus come these life-giving words from the very heart of God. The fishermen were there washing their nets. They'd fished all night, but there was nothing to show for their efforts. And now they were drying and mending their nets for another night's work. And this mass of people were pushing against Jesus, and Jesus needed to do something about this. He saw two boats left by the fishermen at the water's edge. So he got in one of those boats, and verse 3 says it was the one belonging to Simon. And Jesus went into that boat, and he sat down. Well, it was customary at that time to sit when preaching and teaching. And this seemed an ideal arrangement for that situation. Jesus was then removed from the pressure of the crowds, but near enough to be seen and heard. And this marked a turning point as well in the ministry of Jesus, that he was moving from preaching in the synagogue and now ministering outside by the lake, and now his pulpit, a simple fisherman's boat. So here's Jesus sitting in his boat, and he asks Simon to push the boat out a little from the shore. Just a simple request to push that boat out. But perhaps this was Jesus testing him to see how he would respond. A step of obedience, an important stage for Simon to take, because it prepared him for what was to follow, which would end up being totally life-changing. Do you in your life sense that the Lord is encouraging you to make some changes in your life? Perhaps it's to do with family commitments or other relationships. Perhaps it concerns your work or your finances. Perhaps you feel nervous about change. We can all feel that, can't we? Perhaps it just feels too big and you've been putting it off. And I believe the Lord is saying this morning, have courage. Just take some small steps. And the Lord says, I'll be with you when you do those baby steps. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So this small step that you take could be build on a chain reaction which could set things moving in the right direction, paving the way for the changes that need to happen. Now, Simon's small step of obedience leads to another request from Jesus. And he says to Simon in verse 4, put out your nets into deep water. Get ready for a catch. Normally, the fish were netted in shallow water at night, and they would migrate during the daytime hours to waters too deep to reach easily with nets, which is why Simon and the other fishermen fished at night. It made sense to do that. And Simon answered in verse 5, Master, we've worked all night, and we haven't caught anything. No doubt Simon thought Jesus' request didn't really make any sense. I wonder what was going through his mind at that time. Perhaps maybe something equivalent to that saying about teaching your grandmother to suck eggs. Even in expressing his doubts to Jesus, Simon addresses Jesus as master, that title of respect, of a person who's superior to yourself. But despite his misgivings, Simon responded positively. He said, because you say so, I will let down my net. Because you, Jesus, said this, I trust you, I will do as you say. And his obedience was rewarded. In verse 6, when the fishermen had let down their nets, they caught a large number of fish. So much so, their nets began to break. They had to call others in to come and help them. Their partners, James and John, came to help. These were the business partners, and their boat as well was filled with fish. In fact, there were so many fish, their boats began to sink. Can you imagine the scene? I mean, even, you know, one fish that's alive, when it flips and flops around, you know, you can imagine a whole lot of fish flipping and flopping and making noise and water and spray and perhaps the, you know, there's a lot of commotion going on. And I can just imagine what the fishermen might be saying, shouting to one another and trying to contain all these fish. Perhaps laughter and joy and all kinds of emotions and things going on. And the Bible says there was utter astonishment as well with all of this. Why did Jesus cause this miracle to happen? Was it a reward to reward Simon for being obedient, for loaning the boat, and because perhaps also Jesus knew the fishermen were disappointed because they hadn't caught anything that night? But there was so much more, wasn't there? This dramatic miracle confirmed Jesus' authority over the very forces of nature. He is Lord, Lord of all. Is Jesus asking you this morning? You know, perhaps you've already taken those small steps. Perhaps he's asking you to take the bigger steps of obedience. And he's calling you to go deeper again. How will you respond? Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, I tried it all before. It didn't work. What I thought God asked me to do, it didn't work when I tried it. It came to nothing. Perhaps the Lord is saying in a fresh way today, this time it'll be different. Put down into the deep water and see what I will do. The commentator William Barclay said, too often we wait unnecessarily. If we wait for a perfect set of circumstances, there's a danger we might not begin at all. If we want a miracle, we have to take Jesus at his word when he calls us to do the impossible. Remember those words of Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Secondly, how did Simon respond? Did he respond with repentance? Did he repent before Jesus? Well, this remarkable catch of fish was clearly a miracle. And in verse 9, Luke says that Simon and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. Well, the effect upon Simon was understandable. He didn't just regard this miracle as a lesson in fishing techniques that might improve his profits. All his attention was focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Simon was clearly awestruck by this miracle. And his first response was to feel his own insignificance in comparison to the greatness of Jesus. Simon knew that Jesus had healed the sick, he'd driven out demons, but he was amazed that Jesus not only cared about his day-to-day routine, but understood about his needs. You know, the Lord isn't just interested in saving us. He cares about us. He wants to intervene in our daily activities. He meets us where we are, at our level. Simon realized that he was in the presence of the Holy One himself, exercising his divine power. and Simon was stricken with shame over his own sin. He fell to his knees and he repented and he said, "Go away from me, Lord." And the New Living Translation says, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." You see, the nearer someone is to God, the more they recognize their own sinfulness and unworthiness. Remember the words of the prophet Isaiah when he had the vision of God as a glorious king seated on the throne, high and exalted. And he cried out, "Woe is me! I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Following Jesus means so much more than just acknowledging him as Savior. True repentance causes us to act, leaving our past behind us and placing our future in the very hands of God. Perhaps once you made a commitment, but you've gone back to your old habits. You've been going round and round in circles. You keep working harder, hoping everything's going to come right, but your efforts aren't working, and you're wearing yourself out. Will you surrender again and let Christ be the captain of your boat? Go in the direction he wants you to go in? The commentator F.B. Meyer put it like this: if you lend him your boat, he will return it filled with silver fish. The boats were filled. The upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit. Lazarus was raised. Thrust out your little boat, and it'll be the beginning of long voyages and fishing expeditions with Christ. The question is, are you willing to do this? Thirdly, let's talk about how Simon was redeemed. Seeing Simon on his knees in humility with a repentant heart, Jesus redeems the situation, bringing wholeness and new direction. He focuses his attention on Simon and he reassures him. Jesus tells him that now Simon himself will be joining with Jesus. "Don't be afraid," said Jesus, "for now you will fish for people." Jesus was drawing a spiritual analogy between fishing and seeking people for the kingdom of God. Simon is the first of the disciples to be called, and James and John share in Simon's commissioning. And they respond to Jesus' words exactly as Simon does. In verse 11, they pulled up their boats onto the shore and they left everything, Luke said, and they followed him. Well, this wasn't the first time these men had been with Jesus, but this loose connection now becomes closely knitted fellowship as they follow the Master. You know, this sacrifice was so remarkable in a culture that so highly valued loyalty to family. And these men, they leave their profession and all their equipment there to follow him. So Jesus, he could have chosen prominent people or learned teachers as part of his close associates, his team to work with him, but he calls these simple fishermen. And when Jesus called Simon, he redefined him, just leading him into that place where he can be the true person that God wants him to be, to reach his full potential. And there's a challenge for all of us here this morning. Are we following Jesus? Are we following our calling? What is our calling? You know, we're not just called to employment and service in the world for material profit, but primarily in order to please God and be engaged in mission to the world. It was only a week or so ago that we were thinking about Easter story, and we had the cross here. On Good Friday, we focused on the meaning of the cross and our own commitment to Christ. Remember in Matthew 16, we talked about those words of Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. We're to take up our cross and follow him. And to do this, we do it in our own unique context, in our own way, as Christ has called us to do. And like Simon, we are called to tell others about Christ and the hope we have. And it was great that Isaac talked about his own situation in Ghana, that call in Matthew 28 about going into all the world and making disciples. We are called to be fishers of men, fishers of women. What are we doing to catch people for God in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our communities? And when you think about it, when you think about fishermen and you think about the bait that they use, there's different bait used to catch different fish, isn't there? Coming back to that book written by Rob Beattie, he said, after years of plumping for baits like sweet corn and cheese and bread and lunch and meat, someone convinced me to give prawns a crack. They're quite expensive, aren't they? But he gave prawns a crack. And he said, what a revelation. Those bad boys will catch almost anything that swims. He tried different things and he found something that worked. And it's a bit like us. We need to find out what we need to use in our own particular situations with the giftings that God has called us to use. Because we're all unique and we all do things in different ways. And we're all out there doing our mission for God in different ways. And we have to find with the people that we come alongside with every day, our work colleagues and, you know, our neighbours, people in perhaps the homes that we live, if we're in sheltered accommodation, whatever it might be, the place where God has placed us, that's where he wants to use us. And, you know, we need to find that bait, that something that's going to be effective to win those fish for God. And if we don't know what that is, we can be praying that God will show us what that prawn is, what that special thing is that's going to draw those people in. So as I come to land my boat or land my fish, going deeper is what God wants us to do. And he stands before us this morning reminding us that we all have a calling upon our lives. He wants us to go deeper by responding to his call. He wants us to go deeper by coming in repentance to him. He wants us to go deeper by redeeming us and filling us to overflowing with the Spirit so we can be effective, each and every one of us, in our own mission for him in the world. And my question to you this morning is, will you let him? Will you let him? Let's just take a few moments to come before God. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have presenced here with your Spirit, and we are so grateful that you come. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for speaking into our hearts. You have been stirring us, Lord. You have been fanning the flame on our spirits. You have been fanning the flame. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we know that we have come with our reservoirs empty. And we need to be filled. and we need to go deeper with you. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just pray that you would give us the boldness that we need to take those baby steps, to take those bigger steps that we need to. Thank you that you'll be with us. Thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Father God, help us trust in you. Help us take you by the hand and lead us forward, Lord, with those challenging, tricky things that we are faced with, where there needs to be that change. And Lord, if you were calling us to change, for us to come to that new place of surrender and to come on our knees before you, we just want to say sorry, Lord. And we just want to pray that you would bring us to that place and fill us again. Lord, would you equip us for your service? You've given us all a calling, and we just want to pray that you would send us out from here with that renewed calling, that renewed sense of vision, and those special tools in the toolbox that we need. Help us, Lord, to just have fresh eyes to see what bait we need to use to win people for you. Lord God, some of us have been pointing people to you but not winning people for you. Just help us be good news in our lives, in how we behave, but may we also tell others of the good news too, so that we see more people coming into your kingdom and seeing the nets full of new converts for you. And we pray this in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's funny, I've been thinking a lot about my father's boat. My father, he's not alive now, but he had a little boat called Serendipity. Never really knew what serendipity meant, but I think it was to do with going out and making discoveries. And what was really sad was this boat never left the garage. It was a boat that my dad sat in. It was a boat that my dad looked at. It was a boat that my dad imagined all the wonderful adventures he was going to have in that little boat. But it never, ever went out to sea. He was so happy to have it, so happy to imagine. But some of us have got a calling, some of us have got things we've been imagining about and dreaming about. And there has to come a day where we say, you know what, we need to launch that boat, we need to put that boat out and see how God will, what he can do. So I just encourage you, don't be one that keeps that boat on the back burner in the garage. Open the garage doors, wheel that boat out, even if it needs to be those baby steps. Wheeling it, getting it out of the garage, putting it on the drive, Googling how to get the wheels to kind of, you know, to pull it out and attach it to your car and set sail that boat. And I just pray that God will release you in whatever place you're at where you need to make the baby steps or the big steps to launch out. Would you stand with me and if you're able, as we sing our last song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.